Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, October 7th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyairam.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe will not be on the agenda at this week's World Bank International Monetary Fund meetings in Washington. He says sanctions, Western-imposed sanctions, continue to hurt the country's economy.
We are not going to see any return of the Zim dollar anytime soon, primarily because the circumstances don't warrant the return of the local currency.
High Court Judge Justice Nicholas Matonzi receives judgment after hearing an urgent chamber application filed by some Epworth residents seeking an order to stop the demolition of illegal houses.
And ongoing MDCT elections ahead of the party selective congress at the end of this month are marred by rigging, ballot stuffing, intimidation, and even violence.
Our Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe will not be on the agenda of the forthcoming World Bank and International Monetary Fund meetings in Washington this week. Harare is a high-level delegation attending the IMF World Bank meetings and some of them on the sidelines of the main event. The meetings are held annually to discuss what the two lenders of last resort have been doing for the past year. The Finance Minister said there is a misconception that most African countries, including the cash strapped Zimbabwe, bring begging bowels to the Bretton Woods Institutes when they come for these meetings. Chinamasa, in an exclusive interview with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganya Wuye, castigated the West for failing to lift economic sanctions slapped on President Robert Mugabe and members of his inner circle for allegedly rigging elections in the country and rights abuses. He adds Zimbabwe's economy is deteriorating because of the so-called targeted measures.
We are not going to see any return of the Zim dollar anytime soon, primarily because the circumstances don't warrant the return of the local currency. The reason why we had to introduce, and I personally was the acting Minister of Finance when I introduced the multi-currency regime, was basically to address the issue of confidence, of trust. Now, we need to restore confidence in our country in the manner that we run and we manage our economy. We need to get the macroeconomic fundamentals right before we can decide to bring back the Zim dollar. And the macroeconomic fundamentals, which must be right, are basically that we must build reserves, ideally in excess of 3, 4, 5 months import cover. Right now, we don't even have a day's cover. It's very important also that the country should get out of sanctions. If we have sanctions lifted against us, primarily by the European Union and the Americans, that will make Zimbabwe a more normal country in terms of its trading, in terms of how it relates to other countries, and it also removes the stigma which is against Zimbabwe. We also need to address the issue of the debt. We have, as you know, 6.9 billion debt, and we have no capacity currently to service our external debt. Now, all those things must be sorted out before we can start talking about bringing back the Zim dollar. But more than anything else, we need to produce and produce and produce for export. And is when we reach a level of production in agriculture, in manufacturing, in tourism, in mining, then we can start talking about bringing the Zim dollar. Not now.
But also there's been a lot of criticism about some of the policies in Zimbabwe that are not conducive for investors.
I think it's important maybe to spell out what those policies are so that I can be more specific and say you are right or you are wrong. And where we think we are wrong, which policies we are addressing. I think you need to spell them out.
I think one of the grey areas has really been the indigenization bill where
supposed
at 51%.
That is an issue that basically we are addressing. Mm. And it's only a question of clarifying what the law is. And the law basically acknowledges that there is no one-size-fits-all. In other words, exploitation of minerals is not the same way as you coming with your money to set up your factory. In the case of exploitation of minerals, basically what we are saying is the mineral is ours, and you are bringing your capital, you are bringing your technology, you are bringing your managerial skills, and we then say, let's team up. That basically in the mining sector. But in the financial services sector, or in manufacturing, we are not saying at all that when you bring your money, 51% is ours. We are not saying that. And shortly, it's a matter that is under consideration. The Minister of Youth, Indigenization, Comrade Nema, is going to clarify for us all so that we can all sing from the same hymn book.
In conclusion, how would you summarize what Zimbabwe's economy is like at the moment?
Right now, we are under sanctions. We have the debt overhang, and I think we should receive a lot of credit for the fact that we remain standing, and we are remaining standing. Those of you who have been to Zimbabwe can testify, basically, to a lot of infrastructural development taking place. As you know, we have been able to, 2 weeks ago, to launch the expansion of Kariba South, which when complete in 3 or so years' time will add 300 megawatts to the national grid. And I'm optimistic about 2 or 3 or 4 mega projects in the power generation which are in the pipeline and for which I'm expecting funding to be available. We are also very busy with respect to rehabilitation of our road network, and all that I think adds to a huge potential for our country to lift off when, in fact, sanctions are lifted.
That was Zimbabwe's Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa speaking exclusively to Studio 7's Marvelous Ntlanganya Huye here in Washington, D.C. He says the Zimbabwean dollar is not coming back anytime soon.
High Court Judge Justice Nicholas Mathonsi today reserved judgment after hearing an urgent chamber application filed by some Epworth residents seeking an order to stop the Epworth Local Board and the Zimbabwe Republic Police from demolishing housing structures they charge were illegally constructed. Justice Mathonsi, who heard arguments from the Epworth residents' lawyer and the Epworth Local Board and Police Commissioner General Augustine Chihuri's legal practitioners, indicated that he will try his best to hand down his ruling on the application either on Thursday or Wednesday next week. The Epworth residents, who are represented by Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights through its member lawyer Tonderai Batasara of Mupanga Batasara Attorneys, filed an urgent chamber application last month seeking an order stopping the demolition of houses belonging to some Epworth residents and to stop their eviction. The decision to file the urgent chamber application came after the authorities launched an operation to destroy illegal houses in and around Harare. But the Epworth residents, through their lawyers, petitioned the High Court seeking to put a stop to the demolitions and evictions from their homes without due process, which they deemed illegal.
First Lady Grace Mugabe today hosted interdenominational church leaders at her children's home in Mazowe, Mashonaland Central Province. The First Lady, who's the new kid on the block on the country's political scene, has hit the campaign trail addressing party supporters in Mashonaland West and Midlands provinces since last week. In attendance today were many church leaders, including Zion Christian Church leader Bishop Zephaniah Mutendi and Senate President Edna Madzongwe. The meeting is said to have focused on corruption and moral decadence in the country. Party insiders, though, are deeply divided over the First Lady's rallies ahead of the key elective congress for ZANU-PF in December. ZANU-PF has effectively split into two major camps, one led by Vice President Joyce Mjuru and the other by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. The two, however, have and continue to deny that they lead factions.
The Mnangagwa camp, with members like outgoing Women's League Secretary Opam Chinguri, has hailed Mrs. Mugabe as the only person capable of ending factional fights. But those in the Mujuru camp told Studio 7 that they are concerned that, quote, Mrs. Mugabe's persona is becoming that of a rhetorical bomb thrower, tearing apart her perceived husband's opponents. The First Lady yesterday accused some ZANU-PF bigwigs of plotting with the opposition MDC to topple Mr. Mugabe. She also said Mr. Mugabe is aware of the so-called coup plotters. Mrs. Mugabe has also called some ZANU-PF provincial chairpersons to be dismissed, saying they are not effective. Efforts to get a comment from Mrs. Madzongwe, who was at today's meeting, were futile. Former ZANU-PF MP and leader of the now-defunct Zimbabwe Unions of Democrats, Margaret Dongo, says Mrs. Mugabe is a divisive figure.
Quite difficult to think that she might end factions, because the factions that are being said are led by very senior politicians who are more senior than her in terms of experience and other things. So I cannot see a situation where she can be able to end factionalism here as the First Lady. The people who can end those factionalism, in many cases they exist. It should be the leaders, but I don't believe in factions myself. Whatever, you can't all be seen supporting one person. So when these people come into different groups, that's when they are said to be factions.
Do you think these factional wars in ZANU-PF will end come December after the Congress?
After Congress, there won't be any factions anymore, because the reason why people are in different groups is that they are looking for a leader to lead them. So the moment they do their Congress, I don't expect them to continue on. Unless if the Congress doesn't go in a democratic way, oh my God, they won't end. They will continue until the next election.
First ladies alleging that there are some in ZANU-PF who are plotting the ouster of President Robert Mugabe. What is your take on this?
Oh my God. They can't start plotting today when he's 92. That's being unreasonable, honestly. It's unfair. Those people that have been supporting him.
The First Lady is also saying that some ZANU-PF chairpersons in cities and urban areas who she alleged are not performing must be relieved of their duties. What is your take on this?
It's not about performance in a democratic society. You agree to agree to disagree, and agree to compromise. The issue does not mean to say if people don't support you, it means they are failing to perform. No, there are reasons.
There are also some who are saying that she might be Zimbabwe's next president. What are the chances?
That probably can be best answered by the people of Zimbabwe. If the Zimbabweans feel she could be the next president, then it's up to the Zimbabweans.
Lastly, there is the issue, Amai Dongo, of the First Lady's PhD. Do you want to comment on that?
No, I can't comment on PhD. She has been awarded the PhD, which of course we definitely need to congratulate the Zoo and the University of Zimbabwe for awarding a PhD. PhD is a paper, and what people are waiting to see is about the performance from a doctor. PhD is a paper that has been awarded, but what is important now is to put your experience on the ground.
Former ZANU-PF MP and leader of the now-defunct ZUD party, Margaret Dongo, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
In the meantime, Chris, the MDCT has reacted to Mrs. Mugabe's statement, with a spokesman Douglas Monzora dismissing the First Lady's assertions that his party is working with some in ZANU-PF to push Mr. Mugabe out of office. Mr. Monzora, however, said some people in ZANU-PF who are desperate to get rid of Mr. Mugabe have approached his party. He said the ongoings in ZANU-PF show the end is nigh for the Liberation War Party.
About 85 families in Cholocho, Matabeleland and North that were affected by floods in February yesterday received donations of clothes, soap and sanitary ware from the Zimbabwe Human Rights Association, ZIMRights. ZIMRights Director OK Machisa says they were touched by the plight of the flood victims, and in June they organized the soap and shirt winter festival concert to mobilize assistance for the families. the organization working together with Heal Zimbabwe Trust, Women's Trust, and Batanai HIV and AIDS organization BASO and Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, has also donated to the Tokwe Mukosi flood victims. Muzarabani flood victims will also receive their share soon. Machisa tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that they handed over the donations to the Civil Protection Unit at the District Administrator's Office in Cholocho.
We raised quite a lot of clothes and soap as well as sanitary wear. So yesterday, indeed, we were making some donations to the flood victims in Matabele North Province, and we went to Cholocho. We did a donation which was quite received by all the victims, and we would like to thank all the structures of the government that also assisted all these organizations to ensure that we hand over these goods to the needy. And we hope that all Zimbabweans, all NGOs, as well as the government will team up again and ensure that the victims of such disasters would need not only to be given assistance when the disaster struck on us, but we need to be prepared each and every time.
We understand that the victims need food to see them through to the next season. What are you doing to assist?
This is something that we gathered yesterday, and we would want to go deep into that and try to source as many food items as possible. And we would also want to call upon different NGOs and even the government to ensure that we have teamed up as citizens of Zimbabwe and provide food donations to the needy in Cholocho.
That was Zimrise Director OK Machisa on the phone from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabwean arts industry in for exciting times.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Spanish officials are investigating how a nurse in Madrid contracted the Ebola virus, becoming the first person known to catch the virus outside West Africa, the flashpoint of the current outbreak. Health officials say the woman helped to treat two Spanish missionary priests who died last month after being flown back from Liberia and Sierra Leone.
Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has left his country to attend a hearing on his case at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Mr. Kenyatta flew out of Nairobi today, a day before his appearance at the ICC. He is facing 5 charges of crimes against humanity for allegedly helping to organize the deadly post-election violence that hit Kenya in early 2008.
A new report says at least 11,000 people have been killed as a result of the Boko Haram insurgents in northeastern Nigeria. The estimate comes from researchers at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies, who used media reports to compile a database on deadly violence in Nigeria going back to 1998.
The deputy president of the Chiefs Council, Chief Mchani Kumalo, says the government should urgently address looming shortages of fertilizer in the country as the nation prepares for the forthcoming farming season. He says annual shortages of compound D and ammonium nitrate should be averted so that Zimbabwe can record a significant harvest in the 2014-2015 farming season. His call comes at a time when some farmers told Studio 7 yesterday that some shops have not yet ordered fresh suppliers of the two products, raising fresh fears of crippling shortages ahead of the farming season. Manufacturers and suppliers of fertilizer are optimistic that compound D and ammonium nitrate will be readily available for farmers this cropping season. Chief Kumalo tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube, Zimbabwean farmers should also use some traditional fertilizers.
I want to believe people should plan well in advance for every season, because we should know how much fertilizer we use every year so that we can produce well in advance enough fertilizer so that when this time comes, we don't find ourselves wanting fertilizer.
What can villagers do on their own in order to, you know, go around this kind of a problem?
I think the best I could advise the communities is that where possible they should use coal manure, which I even believe is even better than this ordinary fertilizer that we're talking about. So coal manure does its real purpose for both compound D and top grading fertilizer. So I would advise people to try and get coal manure.
That there was Deputy President of the Chiefs Council, Chief Mchwane Khumalo, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Zimbabwe's arts industry is set for exciting major changes with the construction of a state-of-the-art world-class theatre facility in the Harare Gardens by Rooftop Promotions, the first step in that direction. Ivan Chifera has more details.
Rooftop Promotions board member Ray Mawerera says Zimbabwe's art is in for great times. Speaking today at a groundbreaking ceremony for the new $200,000 500-seater new theatre in the park building, Mawerera said the facility will hold at least 30 shows a year and open up new opportunities for creative artists in the country. The new complex will have conference facilities, would be Wi-Fi accessible with internet facilities, enabling productions to be streamed live.
I've mentioned the live streaming. This means that within the comfort of your home, you will be able to actively participate in all productions taking place by way of watching an entire play, as well as actively participate in the post-performance discussion forums. Some of you who've attended the old theater in the park, you know we had all those discussion forums afterwards. If you're sitting at home watching the play, you can also participate. And I'm seeing this particularly useful for those for whom distance to the venue may present challenges, because as you know, technology does not know any boundaries today.
Mawerera said regional, continental and global premieres would be held at the new facility. Harare-based theatre groups will also use the new space for their rehearsals, and for the first time in Zimbabwe's arts history, it will offer childminder services to theatre-loving parents. Mawerera said the new theatre in the park is being constructed in direct response to changing dynamics in the entertainment business the world over.
Our goal is to ensure that this theatre becomes the intersection of a Zimbabwe community inspired by a vision to restore meaningful vibrancy in our nation, to excite our people to be more proactive in the things that challenge them as we try to make sense of ourselves, as we try to find ourselves again.
He said the potential for growth for the arts industry is high. He urged local artists to utilize the venue by unpacking and articulating developments and challenges people face in languages they understand. Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni said the new theatre facilities are key to the city's development, adding they fit into the city's vision for being a world-class city by 2025.
As a council, we are promoting Destination Harare, and what an addition to our profiling this will be. Brand Harare is going to benefit immensely. As I'm told, international performing artists are willing to come to Zimbabwe to showcase their talent in this proposed building. I urge you to use the center to promote budding talent in our youth and to discover untapped talent in the elderly as well, if you may. I hope you will venture into the high-density suburbs like Mbare, Highfield, Mfakose in search of talent.
Theatre in the Park, which has been in existence for 17 years, has produced and hosted more than 260 productions at national, regional and international level. Some of the popular productions that were given space at the old theatre in the park include Waiters, a play tackling the emotive and intricate race relations in Zimbabwe, and Super Patriots and Morons, the first play to be banned in Zimbabwe. The satirical play was about an unnamed country going down the drain economically with a dictatorial president. The authorities in Harare gave no explanation for the ban, but for the producer of the play, Davis Guja, the reasons were political. It also toured Africa and Europe, receiving critical acclaim almost everywhere it went. Today's event comes barely 3 days after the opening of the Zimbabwe International Film Festival, with a film on former Mozambican president Samora Machel, Camarada President, by Zimbabwean filmmaker Mosco Kamwendo being premiered. The film is based on a real-life controversy surrounding the death of Machel. Mayor Manyenyeni described Camarada President mentioned, as a great film, we should inspire the production of films on Zimbabwean heroes.
That making of such films encourages further films around our own national heroes from all walks of life, from the political giants like Josiah Jogogara, Herbert Chepo, Samuel Parinyatwa, Joshua Komo, and from our arts and sports, the likes of most of them are still alive, John Shire, Moses Chunga, Peter Dove, Kara Black.
The Zimbabwe International Film Festival runs from the 4th to the 11th of October under the theme Universal African. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Just as a reminder to you all to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will discuss with you and experts about First Lady Grace Mugabe as she takes her first steps into politics. Will she divide or unite both ZANU-PF and the country?
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Chris, and now to our mailbag. We have a couple of emails that we can run through today.
Yes, Sandy. The first one is from Shumba, who says, "Hi over there in Washington, D.C. May you update us weather-wise as we are approaching farming season. Kindly provide information on rainfall distribution."
And another email says, "Thank you, Studio 7, for letting us know what is happening at home. I give you a big five," and this is from Terrence.
And we have the last one, Sandy, I guess.
Yes.
It's from Darama Works from Mondoro, who says, "Hi to you all, Jonga, Blessing and crew. Sad to tell you that slavery is now in Zimbabwe. We work, but they don't pay us. We worked for Next Chair Constructing Company, but they haven't paid us for 3 months. Please highlight to the world about the situation. Only civil servants are paid, but private sector... Mawan, your Mdara, that is Mawex from Mondoro."
Thank you, Mdara Mawex. And to you all listeners, please continue sending emails to studio7@voanews.com. That's your mailbag email, studio7@voanews.com, so we can read your messages on air. The address is again, studio7@voanews.com. And Chris, I know we've got a story on Highlanders. What is going on with Highlanders?
Yes, Sandy, the circus surrounding Highlanders coach Calvin Kaindu is finally over. Officials are now confirming the Zambian gaffer's exit after spirited denials last week. Kaindu was pushed out after losing 3-1 to Premier Soccer League title chasers ZPC Kariba, a result that all but put paid to Highlanders' chances of winning the league title.
The legend, I don't want to wait in vain for those lovers, Chris, who keep people waiting and waiting. Can we recap today's top stories?
Yes, Sandy. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe will not be on the agenda at this week's World Bank International Monetary Fund meetings in Washington.
And High Court Judge Justice Nicholas Matonzi reserves a judgment after hearing an urgent chamber application filed by some airport residents seeking to stop the demolition of illegal houses.
That's our broadcast this evening. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And this is Sandra Nyaira wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.